Good morning. Dorothy, where are you? Oh, can you hear me? It's loud enough? All right. Good morning. It's good to be here. And again, if you're visiting with us, welcome. Glad to have you. And if this is the first time you visited with us, I'll let you know that I am not the preacher here. We have a preacher, Steve Countryman. And he's in Nashville with his family. They're celebrating the graduation of his oldest son from David Lipscomb. So we want to keep them in our prayers because they're coming to Nashville, different members of the family from different locations. So that always increases the risk of something not going right. But we're glad you're here. Butch, it's good to see you feel good enough. I tried to get over there to you and got sidetracked, but I'm glad you're feeling well enough to come. I know you're probably still in pain, but it's good to see you, brother. I didn't come prepared to deliver a sermon. I know for many of you, you mean, oh, that means he's not going to talk. You're not that lucky, Bill. I am going to talk. But I want us to spend this morning, I guess if you got to put a label on it, it's in devotion. And I want to devote a little time. I want to devote a little time to perspective. Everybody has one. We all have perspective. We have a perspective about everything. Everything in our lives we have a perspective about. Charlie Brown has a perspective. When he was asked by that little girl, what's her name? She's not Peanut, but Lucy. Asked by Lucy, what's love, Chuck? And Chuck's perspective, love is Jesus. So we all have a perspective, and it's pretty important, our perspective is, because it sort of sets... It sets us on, or focuses on, all the aspects of our life. So I want to take time this morning to cause you and myself to really examine one of our perspectives, and that is how we come to or bring ourselves to an understanding of our Father, and how we take from His message to us, the Word, what we take to form our understandings about our Christianity. Just call it our Christianity, our walk in Christ. And what I'm talking about here is the lens through which we read the Bible. And the biases that we carry to what we read that give us our understanding of what it tells us. And the standards by which we apply that to our lives. They prioritize and take from the Word those things that we use to govern our lives that in our minds make us Christian. Establish our Christianity. Are you hearing this okay, Dorothy? Okay. I keep moving back from, and I don't pick on Dorothy, but she's my test, and so I appreciate her doing that. And ultimately, what I'll be talking about is what I want to get us to think about is how all this rolls up into how we see our relationship with God and His Spirit and His Son. Everyone in this assembly this morning, young or old, has a Christian. And I'm going to call all of what I just mentioned our Christian perspective. So when I use that term Christian perspective, you'll know that's what I'm talking about, the whole breadth of that. And everyone in this morning in this assembly, young or old, has a Christian perspective. And so I'd be really surprised if any of us... share exactly the same Christian perspective. I think there's no two people in here that have exactly the same Christian perspective. I mean, if you talk about it long enough, drill down hard enough, you're going to find we differ, you know, in perspective on some things. And we shouldn't be too worried about that because, quite frankly, the apostles, the scriptures tell us the apostles had different perspectives on certain things as a matter of practicing their Christianity. So this morning is not about some philosophical discourse, and it's definitely not going to be any sort of deep theological analysis. What we're really going to be focusing on is what all of you already know about yourself and what you know about your Christian perspective. Like I said, what I want to do is I want us to think about it and examine it, because what I think is surprising is we probably don't spend a lot of time thinking about how we come to think about our Christianity. I don't. I mean, there are times when I'm challenged by something I've heard for the first time from somebody in class, and then I'll kind of think, why didn't I think that, or what should I think about that? And then I'll kind of question or challenge how I came to want to think about it that way. And I may be the only one of you that does that. If I am, this is going to be a long morning for you. Okay? But I would like for us to look at this, and I would like for us to begin by thinking about how we developed our Christian perspective. That list of things I talked about at the beginning. And I think for most of us, not all of us, but for most of us, our perspective was developed out of our attending church, listening to preachers, going to Sunday school class, listening to teachers, watching people we grew up with in church and how they behaved, how they spoke, how they acted. Some of us may have gone off to higher institutions of learning that were church affiliated and got even more of that and our other church venues. The point is that we, for the most part, come, or at least I did, and I think most of you too, came to our Christian perspective largely through a church perspective, what I'm going to call a church perspective. And so as a way to kind of get you to think about that, I'm just going to kind of review the church perspective I grew up under. And it's just kind of so you can pattern, as a pattern for maybe your thoughts on this for yourself. And my church perspective looks something like this. I don't know if you can read that, but I'll walk you through it. And this is not complete. I don't have time to do it complete. I'm already cutting this down from 4 hours to 20 minutes. So out of necessity sort of abbreviate this. So don't try to dwell on this. What I'm trying to do is illustrate here, but I want it to be accurate. I want it to be a fairly accurate illustration. So if you just looked at the church perspective I grew up with, and just sort of looked at its core, it's these things sort of fell out to me, and that is the way my church perspective sort of looked at the Bible was a set of tangential parts. And what I mean by that is that all the parts had in common with one another, sort of authored under the Holy Spirit. Okay? Came to us that way, but it was really a composite of things. It taught us history. It taught us, you know, how God created us. It taught us about, how God has awesome power worked in the world, and it was awesome. And it talked about, there was a lot of emphasis on man's inability to save himself, and how he constantly failed God, beginning in the garden, bringing sin into the world, and then attempts that God made to give him some law to live by, and he failed that. And then generally that church perspective got to at its core was God's absolute intolerance of sin and therefore the necessity of God to deal with sin by sending those who sin into eternal punishment, torment. When we looked at salvation in the church perspective I grew up with, we were grateful that God gave us a plan, a method for escaping, largely viewed as escaping the wrath of God, and that eternal torment that none of us wanted. And the way that plan worked is that God sent his son as a sufficient sacrifice to atone for my sins. And that getting that method right was absolutely critical. Then from a standpoint of my church perspective, what the body then was about was really primarily functioning to keep us saved. Once we were saved, to keep us saved. And so getting church right got to be critical as well. So much so that in some of my experiences, that sort of works its way into the perceived gospel. Okay? And so you can see the biblical truths in this early church perspective, or at least I hope you can. And I suspect that for many of you, this resonates. Am I right? I mean, that kind of, you've experienced this in your own history or something like it. But what may surprise you is if you sit and think about it, that probably is the same church perspective at its core that you would find in any of the church denominations that make up what we, the Christianity we know in our world today. Particularly if those churches believe that God sent his son as both human and God and as an atonement for our sins. That they would have essentially the same church perspective in that standpoint. I don't think I've went too many. And let me say what I mean by that. Is that we may, I don't know where I am on slides there. Okay, yeah, this is it. That, I don't know if you can read that or not, but what I'm talking about is that when I say essentially the same perspective, I don't want you to be alarmed. I'm not saying that you're like somebody you don't want to be like. What I'm saying is that there may be a lot of a variety and a lot of disparity in the detail of how we carry out our perception of Christianity, but at its core, most of those churches would tell you hell is your destiny unless you're saved. And the principal role of the church is to teach you and to teach me and to teach us how to tell others to be saved and then how to stay saved. And that each church has its own distinct way of doing church. And that distinct way becomes really critical to the way that church body fellowships or assembles. The concerns I have with that perspective are these, that it suggests that God's relationship with us is adversarial to begin with. And to put ourselves back in God's good graces, we really have to obey not only the plan of salvation, we have to get church right. And the view tends to perceive the gospel as, and that's not wrong. That's not wrong. But it tends to put us in the mindset or the view that the gospel is really about us. And in a sense, it is. But we kind of tend to view it as all about us. I mean, if I ask anybody in here, so what's the good news? That God, that Jesus came to save us. That's truth. It's biblical truth. There's no question about it. But I think it's an incomplete perspective. And that's what I've come to understand. Now, don't think for a minute that I'm condemning church practice. If you walk out of here, I'm completely miscommunicating. And see me about that, because I don't want you to think I'm not condemning our church practice. In fact, the business is I'm not condemning my early church practice either, even though I had a lot of problems with some of the things taught. I don't condemn it. I'll tell you why I don't condemn it. It's because it introduced me to God, my Creator. And it taught me to look for Jesus for my salvation. And beyond that, it taught me a strong respect for the gospel, for the word of God. And so I'm grateful to have it, and I thank God for it. But what I think we miss in that perspective is what I saw when Josie and I first came here. And that's, again, this is just an illustration. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. It's knowledge you possess. I don't possess it, you possess it. Again, I want to just challenge you to think about what it is you know, or what it is you think you know, and how you come to know it and apply it. But when we came here, we saw something that was a little different. I keep pushing buttons and I know what I'm doing there. But when we came here, we saw a perspective that was a little different than that church perspective that I grew up with that I just identified to you. And that's really why I gave it to you, sort of get some contrast. I saw a church perspective that was really focused more on getting the church family into a position of being church, just like our banners up here say, rather than doing church. And what I found really interesting about it, the more I got to know this body and the more we fellowship with you, is that you generally are unaware of what you're doing. Now, maybe you're not. Maybe that's just me. But I think I'm right about that. I don't think we really even are cognizant sometimes of how we are developing that perspective in this body. And it's important enough to me that we ought to talk about it. We ought to spend some time with it. Because what I see growing in this place is a perspective that is well beyond the point of trying to preserve a church tradition and is looking toward building a body of faith to accomplish God's purpose in this world today. Now, there's some distinctions here I want you to pick up, but I want to let you pick them up. I'll kind of hit on them, but I want you to pick them up. If you look at, well, I'm still doing it. If you look at a church perspective of that type, I think you're looking more nearly at what I would like for us to adopt as our church perspective, and that is the perspective Jesus had. I mean, this really ought to be our goal, is to move our thinking to align itself with the way Jesus thought about our Christianity. And here's what I think that would look like, and again, I don't think you can read that, so I'll kind of run through this, that in Jesus' perspective, Scripture wasn't disjointed or non-contiguous. Scripture was one complete message from the beginning of Genesis all the way through, at his time, his ministry. And that it wasn't standalone different parts that just happened to be authored under the same divine inspiration. He taught it as a continuing message, and that all of its parts were important to all of its other parts. They weren't disconnected. And he, if you remember, the way he criticized the Jewish leaders of his time, he was extremely critical and actually got killed in part for this, is that he was really very much opposed to the way they parsed the Scripture to accomplish their own ambitions in what they had crafted as a church idea or church perspective. Even though it was in a temple, it was still that as a body. The other thing about Jesus' perspective that I want to draw attention to is Jesus' clear view that his perspective was much bigger than himself. I mean, only one time, I think, if I'm right on this, but again, this is a challenge. Go find this out for yourself. Only one time I can recall offhand when I was putting these thoughts down that Jesus ever kind of focused on himself. You remember when that was? It was in the garden. And when he prayed that this cup passed from me, but he quickly qualified that, didn't he? Not my will, but thine, Father. That's kind of the only time I can find where his perspective focused on anything other than mission. His perspective, his perspective was really born out of mission. And his mission was tied to God's purpose. All of his perspective, I think, was bound by one critical element. And it is the bond for fellowship. It's the bond for what ties us together, but also what ties us to God, and that is love. Love for God and then love for one another. Now I think I've probably got these out of order, so I'm going to quit using the slides here in a minute. So with Jesus' perspective, I still don't want to go to hell. I don't think you do either, whatever that is in your mind. But I have to believe, I didn't come to this until pretty late in life, at least it didn't gel as a solid understanding, that fear of hell isn't going to save me. Okay? I just don't read that as I've come to read the Bible and understand it through more of this perspective that I'm trying to get us to assume. It's the only way that Steve can save Steve is by a commitment to love God. And then, as Jesus said, a part of that to love one another, love you. I think that when we take that perspective, it does several things. I think it leads us to what I started talking about when I talked about this church. It leads us to a perspective that's more offensive, not so defensive, where we view our Christianity in terms of having accomplished an event. We got saved according to that right plan. And we're going to stay saved because we're going to do church. We're going to come to church and we're going to do the things that we do at church, which are all vitally important. I'm not criticizing that. But I know for a good many people, that seems to be where it stops. And I want to really encourage you to think about Jesus' perspective in those terms about what our purpose is, because he came to proclaim a gospel that I don't think, we sometimes maintain a good grasp of. And the gospel he came to proclaim is that the kingdom of God is coming, that the kingdom of God has come near, and that the reign of God is breaking into the world to transform it. And when you look at that, you see we individually and as a body have been saved for purpose. We've been saved by virtue of the fact that we've been given life, and we've been given that life for a purpose, and that purpose is to carry out or to help Jesus carry out his mission. So it doesn't invalidate my early church perspective, but it does give it a more full and complete perspective, I think. And so I want to encourage you, to kind of think about these things, grow in your understanding through the Word, but I also hope along with that you'll grow a perspective that more and more takes on a Jesus perspective, or perspective like his. Like I said when I started out, I'm not going to reveal to you this morning anything you don't already know, you don't already possess. It's just a challenge, and it's kind of where I got the notion of Devo. Devote a little time to this. And if you already do that, then encourage me to do it. But if you don't do that, then I hope you will. And if there's anything we can do to help you with that, then I think all of us kind of stand ready to help one another. I mean, that's a big part of what we're supposed to do for one another. So think about that. And think about it with encouragement, because all of this is intended to give us an assurance of hope. And no matter what your perspective, if it doesn't lead you to an assurance of hope, and I think to have assurance, you really have to understand God's purpose, His will for us, and how we honor Him in His will. But if you do that, you have that assurance of hope, and we ought to be very encouraged by that, goal, by that ambition. And I hope we'll do that. So I'm going to close my remarks. If there is, if there's anybody here that has a need, regardless of what that need is, we'd like to help you. There are going to be elders at each of the doors as a matter of convenience. But by all means, that's not the only time we are prepared to assist you, to help you, to pray with you. And it doesn't have to be because something bad's going on in your life. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have somebody come forward and let's pray about something great that happened and give God the glory? I mean, nothing good in this. There is no good, despite what TV tells you and movies tell you, there is no good in this world except the good that comes from God. There's no other source for it. And that is so contrary to our worldly perspective. But if we can help you, we're going to sing a song in a minute, and that's a matter of convenience. Please let us do that. If you don't know, I mean, there may be somebody that's here that doesn't know how to establish that relationship with Jesus. And we'd love to get together with you and study that together, show you what we see in the Word regarding that, and then help you embrace that with your own repentance, okay, with your own belief, and then ultimately with your own baptism. So come if we can help you, and if not, have a blessed day and be safe. Be safe if you travel these holidays. So we stand and sing now.